read and sung again, Mary's song. It says you've lifted up the lowly and you've taken down those who are on thrones, lofty thrones. Lord, I pray tonight that you would lift up my lowly voice and use it for your glory. I pray for all of us here this evening that the truth of the scriptures and the good news of the birth of Jesus would come and find room in our hearts, that you would abide there, Lord, that your kingdom would come within us. Lord, please come now, Holy Spirit, anoint and bless your word. Give us ears to hear, hearts ready to receive, and the will to implement this in our lives. We ask it in Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. I'm trusting in the medicinal effects of the incense to, you know, cleanse all of this. Don't tell me anything contrary to that. I want to believe that it'll happen. Now, tonight, one of the titles I considered for this sermon was Christmas did not start as a pagan holiday, but I wish that it had. You know, because folks often tell me, well, you know, Father Ben, the date for Christmas was a pagan holiday that was taken over by the church. Well, fortunately or unfortunately, the facts indicate that this is not the case. However, I usually respond something like this. I hope, I wish the feast of Christmas was indeed created as a response to pagan solstice celebrations. Because you see, I love it when Jesus comes and conquers and takes his stuff back. It's rightly his. The times and seasons all belong to our God who created, loved, and redeemed this world. So this winter solstice is God's solstice. So take that, Roman pagan celebration of the unconquered sun. Ha ha! The true Son of Righteousness has risen with healing in his wings, and he has taken back his day. So while the church didn't mark the birth of Jesus as the Christian winter solstice festival, I wish that it had, because celebrating the birth of Jesus at the darkest time of the year makes perfect biblical sense. We heard it proclaimed in the reading from Isaiah tonight. For those of you who are from the UK, it's Isaiah, not Isaiah. The people who walked in darkness, the people who worked in darkness, walked in darkness, have seen a great light. The people who walked in darkness have seen a great light. Those who dwelt in a land of deep darkness, on them has light shone. Those that dwelt in a land of deep darkness, on them has light shone. And at the beginning of John's gospel, which will be read every year during the Christmas season, we hear the good news of Jesus proclaimed, in him was life, and the life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. The true light, which gives light to everyone, was coming into the world. So into the darkest time of the year, into the darkest time of our present lives, that's when the light shines forth. Now many of us, I know, feel as if we are indeed walking in deep darkness in our world for many reasons. And there's the darkness of human sin that dwells in each of us and that sucks the light and life out of us and then is vomited out to become the sorry parade of human oppression, hatred, and violence. We know that all too well. But the greatest darkness by far, and I think it is the darkness that Isaiah refers to, the greatest darkness by far is death. And our increasingly secular Western culture cannot escape the fact that if there is nothing transcendent, if there is nothing eternal, if there is nothing beyond this world, yes, beyond this cosmos, then death is the final word. Death destroys all love. Death unravels all relationships. Death obliterates personality. And most of us who our secular people rightly don't want to think about this, so we resort to what unfortunately might be called a form of sentimentalized wishful thinking, in which we will talk about being, we're not religious, but we're spiritual. I don't mean that in a funny way. I understand that. But by contrast, Bertrand Russell, the great British mathematician, philosopher, and celebrated atheist of the early 20th century, understood the logical consequences of his own secularism, and he faced them unflinchingly. He wrote, "Such an outline, but even more purposeless, more void of meaning, is the world which science presents for our belief, that man is the product of causes which had no prevision of the end they were achieving, that his origin, his growth, his hopes and fears, his loves and his beliefs are but the outcome of the accidental collocation of atoms, that no fire, no heroism, no intensity of thought and feeling can preserve an individual life beyond the grave, that all the labors of all the ages, all the devotion, all the inspiration, all the noonday brightness of human genius are destined to extinction in the vast death of the solar system, and that the whole temple of man's achievement must inevitably be buried beneath the debris of a universe in ruins. Only within the scaffolding of these truths, only on the firm foundation of unyielding despair, can the soul's habitation henceforth be safely built." Well, Merry Christmas. Good grief. Seriously, that is the very definition of dwelling in a land of deep darkness. But, beloved, the good news of Christmas is that God is greater than the darkness. On the darkest night of the year, God is greater than the darkness. The world's darkest day was on Calvary when Jesus was crucified. The scripture tells us that the land was covered with darkness. It looked like the light of the world had gone out as Jesus slumped in death on the cross. But 3 days later, when Jesus rose from the dead, a light blazed forth that was so great that it can never be put out. Our great God and Savior, as Paul writes in Titus, our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ, our living God, has overthrown the Stygian night of death. Jesus Christ is still crashing into the darkness and bringing light. And some of us here are sitting in darkness. Jesus wants to enter your darkest night of the year so that you will celebrate here not just his birth, not just the birth of the Christ child, but the night, this night, that his light has shattered your darkness. The true light, St. John writes, which gives light to everyone, was coming into the world. To all who did receive him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God, who are born not of flesh and blood, nor the will of man, but of the will of God. One Christian author and activist who has greatly influenced me wrote of an event that my wife Lisa and I, watched unfold just before Christmas in 1989. If you're my age, you probably remember this as well. He writes, "As people across the world tonight light Christmas candles at Christmas Eve services, my mind goes back to another Christmas over 20 years ago in Romania, when the country was still in the grip of communist tyranny. The story begins with Laszlo Tokish, pastor of a fast-growing Reformed church in the city of Timișoara. His powerful preaching had caught the attention of communist officials, and they began a strategy of suppression. They stationed police officers around his church, machine guns cradled in their arms. They hired thugs to attack him. Finally, just before Christmas, they decided to send him into exile. But when the police arrived to hustle Pastor Tokish away, They were stopped cold. Around the church was a wall. And we saw this. We saw it on TV. A wall of humanity. Christians from around the city, Baptist, Pentecostal, Orthodox, Catholic, all had joined together to protest. All through the day, their protest held. As it grew dark, a young Baptist student named Daniel Gavra pulled out a packet of candles, lit one, and passed it to his neighbor. Then he lit another. And one by one, the burning candles were passed among the crowd. Soon the darkness of the December night was pierced by the light of hundreds of candles. When Pastor Tokish looked out his window, he saw a sea of faces lit up with its warm glow. That night, he said later, was the turning point in my life. He would never erase from his mind the picture of believers from all denominations joining hands in his defense. 2 days later, police finally broke through the crowd and dragged Pastor Tokish away, but that was not the end. The people now streamed to the city square and began a full-scale demonstration against the communist government. They shouted, "Liberty! Freedom!" And then, "God exists!" Nothing makes a communist more mad than that. "God is with us!" And then, people began to sing Christmas carols that had been banned for years under the communists. They sang, "What wonderful news is coming from Bethlehem that we now have a Savior." Once again, Daniel Gavra was there. He passed out his candles, and once again, the night was lit by their glow. Finally, the communist officials began to panic. They brought in troops and ordered them to open fire on the crowd. Hundreds were shot. Young Daniel felt a searing pain as his leg was blown off. Yet the brave example set in Timisoara inspired the rest of the nation, and within days, the entire population of Romania had risen up, and the bloody dictator, Ceausescu, was gone. I remember, Lisa, this is not in his notes, but Lisa and I were watching CNN when the translation came over from the Romanian television, news television, and it said, talking of Ceausescu and his wife's execution, they said, "The Antichrist is dead." Within days, that whole population of Romania had risen up and the bloody dictator Ceausescu was gone. The churches filled with worshipers offering praise to God. And for the first time in half a century, for the first time in 50 years, the people of Romania celebrated Christmas in freedom. In the hospital, Daniel Gavra celebrated while learning to walk on crutches. His pastor came by offering him sympathy, but Daniel wasn't looking for sympathy. "Oh, pastor," he said softly, "I don't mind so much the loss of a leg. After all, it was I who lit the first candle. And the people who walk in darkness have seen a great light. And on those who dwell in a land of darkness has the light shone." Tonight, we will light Christmas candles at the end of this service, and not out of sentimentalism, but in defiance of the darkness. Tonight we'll light candles that will witness to the light of Christ, the light that is coming into the world, the light that can never be put out. He keeps erupting into people's lives. He keeps erupting into society, bringing life. Tonight, we'll light candles. And we who have sat in darkness, when we light those candles, may on us, the light shine. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.